Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our show, It's Time to Awake. On this show, there will be various topics presented, examined, and explained with an emphasis on the Word of God and the doctrine of repentance through His Son, Christ. Romans 13 and 11, and that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, but now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. We hope that you may be edified by the word of God through Christ. Shalom.
Give all praises to the Heavenly Father in the name of Christ for giving us another week, another opportunity to come on the radio station here and go over scriptures.
Yep, all praises to the Most High through Christ for the allowance to come out here and go over scriptures according to as it is written. We're going to go over a little topic about what does the Bible say about the law being done away with. Now, we know from reading, I think it is Colossians 2, about how Christ took the ordinances regarding the penalties of the law out of the way and nailed them to his cross. You know, so he gave us an atonement. He talks about that in Hebrews 2. He talks about how he atoned for our sins and for our sins in ignorance. Matter of fact, let's get that scripture. But some people take the Colossians 2 thing to mean that those ordinances were against us. We could never keep the law because we're not right with God. We never will be. So, excuse me. So we don't have to do that. You know, that's not talking about that because that does not agree with the context of the entire Bible. Yeah. So, all right, thank you. So that's Hebrews. Hebrews. One of them is Hebrews 10 and 12. Read that.
All right. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God.
Because there were ordinances in the Old Testament and in the New, but there are ordinances that list the consequences for sinning. For this sin, there's this. For this sin, there's that. For this sin, there's this. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So Christ took those ordinances out of the way. But some people think that, according to Colossians 2, and that's the doctrine, the section of scriptures that they twist, that some people take that to mean that they don't, that no one has to keep the law because we can't keep it, we're not able. Let's see what the Bible says about that. We're going to go into the scriptures. And remember one thing, no, two things, Ephesians 4 and 5.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
So, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5.
Mm-hmm.
One Lord,
mm-hmm.
one faith,
mm-hmm.
one baptism.
Okay, so there's one Lord that gave one word,
mm-hmm.
and he did not change. The scriptures are going to bear that out. And there's one faith through that one Lord that's based on that one word, right?
Yep.
And one baptism, and matter of fact, Lord's will next week, right? We're going to do a class according to as it is written on baptism.
Yep.
We'll be getting into that. Let's go to Hebrews 7, I believe it is.
Okay.
excuse me, Hebrews. I went that wrong. Hebrews 13:7.
All
right. I'm getting that scripture dyslexia is getting contagious around here, at least.
All right. All right. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7.
Mm-hmm.
Remember them which have the rule over you.
I'm sorry. 8.
Oh, 8.
It's real bad, bro.
Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever.
Okay, so there's no changing in the Lord.
Nope.
All right. Let's go to Numbers. I believe it's 23. And this is what Balaam, as he was trying to prophesy against the children of Israel in the wilderness, because Balak had him try to put a curse on Israel and he couldn't. This is what he said about the Lord. Read Numbers 23:19.
God is not a man that he should lie.
So he would never say, listen, everybody got to do this. Okay, time's up. Now you don't have to do it.
Exactly.
I changed my mind. Well, you know, I didn't really lie. I just changed, you know. Because the scriptures say you're not going to change, right?
Mm-hmm.
So read on.
God is not a man that he should lie. Neither the Son of Man mm-hmm. that he should repent.
So he's not the, he's not like, well, wait a minute. What did Christ call himself when he was walking around on the earth?
Son of Man.
Okay. Christ said in the Old Testament, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what people say.
Yep.
He's also in Proverbs, I think in Proverbs 30,
mm-hmm.
the first couple of verses. But God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. So there's no need for him to change his requirements for his people.
Exactly.
All right, read on.
It says, God is not a man that he should lie, mm-hmm. neither the Son of Man that he should repent.
Uh-huh.
Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or have he spoken, and shall he not make it good?
Okay, so when he blessed the children of Israel, and he spoke that and gave an oath, he could not swear, like it says in Hebrews, he could not swear on anything higher than himself, because there is none higher than himself. So he swore on himself to Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I'm going to do this to your seed,
yep.
your children. Okay? So, according to the scriptures, would he change?
Nope.
And what was the, when he made these covenants, even the covenant in Christ, what is the requirement of, what is the requirement on the people side of that covenant?
They have to keep it.
Obedience.
Mm-hmm. Obedience.
Exactly. You know, so, and then God can't change.
Nope.
But he gave an allowance when Christ came to, listen, y'all have been sitting, y'all done learned all types of evil, wicked things from this Babylon type setup. Because before Abraham's time, when the first Babylon was around, every empire since then has been based on what?
Their customs, the customs of the Babylonians.
Exactly.
Yep.
You know, so that's why that stuff that it writes about, well, you know, like in Zechariah 2:7. I don't want to get butcher syndrome either, so I'm just, you know, I got it already.
Okay.
Deliver thyself, O Zion, that dwelleth with the daughter of Babylon. So that's why the Bible says stuff like that. And then, even in Revelations, Babylon the Great, it's going to fall. It's this, you know, and you have to separate yourself from it. You know, but there was a, that's basically like separating ourselves from the world. I don't want to get too far off topic, but the thing is here, we have sinned in ignorance. Christ sacrificed himself for our sins in ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
Came up with the new covenant, but there's still a requirement in the new covenant
right.
for the people that they have to obey.
Exactly.
Right? Let's go to Matthew 5.
Okay.
I'm thinking about 8 tangents at once. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to stay on topic.
All right, verse?
Matthew 5:17.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Think not that I am come to destroy the law mm-hmm. or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill.
But to fulfill. Now, I was told by several people, this means that he kept the law for us so that we don't have to do it. It was an example to bring those people that kept the law at that time to him, but afterwards we don't have to do that because he fulfilled it. Okay.
That doesn't make any sense.
Not according to the rest of the Bible, but let's look at this first. Let's look at the end first. I am come to fulfill, basically. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. So he came to fulfill.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Acts 13, I believe it is. Yep, Acts 13. All right.
Verse 27 to 29. Okay. Acts chapter 13, verse 27.
Mm-hmm.
For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him.
Hold up, wait a minute. They fulfilled what? They fulfilled the voices of the prophets that are read every Sabbath day.
Yep.
So they fulfilled the words in the Old Testament when they condemned Christ.
Yep.
Okay, read on.
Acts 13, verse 28.
Mm-hmm.
And though they found no cause of death in him,
mm-hmm.
yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain.
Well, that's old English. Nowadays you would say, yet they desired Pilate that he should be slain.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Read verse 30.
That's 13, verse 30.
No, I'm sorry, 29.
And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him.
What? Wait, read that again.
And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him.
Is this talking about him doing away with the law and we don't have to keep
nope.
it anymore?
Nope.
Okay.
At all.
And this even, you know, because I've been told the New Testament starts in Acts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Christ was doing that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John for those, you know, stuck in the old ways to bring them. But
right.
wait a minute. This is talking about they fulfilled everything that was written of him. So he knew when he came. And started his ministry, that all this stuff was going to happen to him according to the prophecies in the scriptures.
Exactly.
Like Paul was saying when, you know, prophecies fail and this and that. But when prophecies come to their completion, they become a fact.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So he made all this stuff written of him in the Old Testament a fact because he fulfilled it.
Exactly.
Okay, so read 29 again, I'm sorry.
Acts 13, verse 29, and when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher.
Okay, so when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, so he came and fulfilled all that was written of him in the law.
Mm-hmm.
Because elsewhere in the New Testament, even Christ, he quoted a scripture in Isaiah and said, isn't this written in your law?
Right.
So they considered the law and the prophets the law.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he fulfilled all that was written of him in what? The law.
Exactly.
Okay. What was he looking for?
What
does it say?
When he read the scripture in Isaiah and says, this day has the scripture been fulfilled.
Luke 4,
okay.
16. Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm. And then I'm turning to Luke 3. And, you know.
All right, Luke 4 and 16. Yeah, so yeah, I'll just read it.
Yeah, go ahead, go ahead.
So Luke chapter 4, start 15.
Mm-hmm.
And he, meaning Christ,
mm-hmm.
taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all.
Mm-hmm.
And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up.
Mm-hmm.
And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read.
Mm-hmm.
So Christ was used to what? Going in on the synagogues, if you want to call it a church, whatever today, on the Sabbath day instead of for it to read. The Sabbath day is a law that some people say is done away with. The Sabbath is any day.
Yeah.
So Christ was doing this for it to read. Verse 17, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the people, to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. So Christ is what? Quote Isaiah, what, 61? 61:1. So Isaiah prophesied that Christ would come, preach the gospel to the poor, to the brokenhearted, so on and so forth. Verse 19, Luke 4, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book. So Christ closed the book of Isaiah, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he, meaning Christ, began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. So back in Matthew 5, when it says, I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill, this was one particular instance where he came and fulfilled this particular scripture in Isaiah, that he would be going around healing the brokenhearted, so on and so forth, teaching on the Sabbath. He came and fulfilled that, but it doesn't say that he came and did away with the law, because if that was the case, it would be okay for me to murder somebody, for me to commit adultery with another man's wife. All those things. And that just, it doesn't make sense, not even common sense.
Exactly. But common sense ain't too common, especially when people start talking about the Bible, because we've been deceived. Read Matthew 5, read 17 again.
So, all right, so going back to Matthew chapter 5, and verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill.
So he didn't come to destroy. He came to make every prophecy about him in the scriptures a fact. Okay. Verse 18.
For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled.
Okay, so there's other things that need to be fulfilled that were prophesied in the scriptures. Other things that even he said, like in Matthew 24, 21. You know, some people think it's going on now, or we're not getting into that right now, but it says, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass.
Okay.
Let me go to Google Earth and see if the earth is still here. Okay, and I'm that super moon eclipse, whatever, something, whatever is going on tonight, right? September 26th, 2015. It's supposed to be a super moon. Something happens every 33 years, whatever. So, but those things are in the firmament of heaven.
Yep.
So that's still here.
Yep.
Okay. So now, till heaven and earth pass, so they're not passed yet, so by simple logic, that means that the following is true. One jot or iota or one tittle, and those are, a jot and a tittle are like commas, strokes of a T, dots of an I, semicolons, periods, paragraph, you know, little things that people think would, you know, okay, you signed your name, you forgot to cross the T, but it's okay. Stuff like that isn't going to disappear from the law. Verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, mean expire, from the law till all be fulfilled. Okay, let's go to Revelation 1. Okay.
All right. So Revelation chapter 1.
We're going to read verse 7, but let me just read the first part of verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay. So it's about the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
Read verse 7.
Revelation 1, verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him.
Oh. Noah.
And they also which pierced him.
Mm-hmm.
And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him.
Uh-huh.
Even so, amen.
Okay, so let it be, because it's written. So did Christ come back yet?
Nope.
I know that the Pope came over to the United States.
He ain't Christ.
Well,
yeah, some people,
you know,
yeah,
but, yeah. Yeah, well, you know, some people, you know, they set themselves up as the ruler of the church in the stead of Christ until he comes back. But while no one was looking, they put in the practices of Babylon
mm-hmm.
into their doctrine and stepped away from the Bible. And it's all through the Bible how they would do that. 1 Timothy 4 is part of it. There's other examples. But we're not here about that. What we're here to show is that the Bible says
mm-hmm.
that the law is not done away with. The dietary law, the Sabbath day, thou shalt not murder, which our people just cannot get a grip on.
Mm-hmm.
Cannot get a grip on thou shalt not murder. Be ye angry and sin not is another commandment that people just can't, you know. You know, and the thing is, when all this stuff ends, when all this stuff comes to an end, since we went to Revelation, let's go to Revelation, what is it? I don't know. Okay, it's been Revelation 14.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Read verse 1 real quick.
And I looked, mm-hmm. and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, mm-hmm. and with him 144,000, having his father's name mm-hmm. written in their foreheads.
Okay. And this goes on to describe, you know, the 144,000 a little bit. And then it goes and says in verse 8, read verse 8.
Revelations 14, verse 8.
Mm-hmm.
And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen,
mm-hmm.
that great city, because she made all nations drink up the wine of the wrath of her fornication.
Okay, so this is after we go from this system of things transitioning into the next system of things where it's righteousness forever and ever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And it talks about saying that, you know, the people that were living and loving and enjoying it and fulfilling their lust in this evil world, they're going to get judgment. But then there's something else. Let's read verse 12.
Revelation 14, verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints.
Stop. The saints are the ones that are going to make it.
Yep.
Into the next system, into the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Here is the patience of the saints. Read on.
Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus.
So, didn't it say back in Numbers, won't he say it
yep.
and it stay that way and he'd yep. say it and he's going to do it
yep.
no matter how long it takes?
Yep. Yep.
Okay. But the commandments of God, the faith, the mindset, the belief, the obedience of Jesus as mm-hmm. that example.
Yeah.
And that's, so if the law is done away with, why is it mentioned here in Revelation 14? And you could go to Revelation 22 if you want to the mm-hmm. end of the last chapter, the end of the last chapter, if yeah. you really, really want to. you know? But if you got lust to do things like murder and adultery and other types of things, then maybe you won't. That's your choice. But why is this stuff here in the end if it's been done away with?
Exactly.
So let's go to two scriptures because we're going to wind it down. Second Peter. We have to remember this in our studies of the scriptures. You know, when we make that choice that we want to repent according to as Christ said, as it is written. Okay, Second Peter 1.
Okay.
I should just say Peter.
Second Peter 1 and what?
20.
All right. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation.
Okay. So, I mean, the people that wrote this Bible were moved by the Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you can't put your spin on it. You can't put a spin on it and teach other people that spin. Because then you're going into violating Revelations 22, I think it's 14 and 15, where it says if you take away or if you add, then you're gonna get your life gonna get taken away, or you're gonna be added to the books of plagues.
Yep.
So you can't put your, and you have to believe and teach and show the example of according to as it is written. If you fall short of that, then you're off, and you have to repent. Let's go to one more because we're running down a little bit. It's Colossians. Back to 2. I wanted to go into 2 and 8, but I might upset some. I mean, I wanted to go into chapter 2.
Mm-hmm.
I went over it quickly, but hopefully I have some time one day. I'll go into this class, but I might make some people upset. I really don't want to dwell. Dwell on what's happening. You know, with the other scriptures, because people are really, really confused and deceived by what demons teach about this passage after this scripture. Colossians 2, verse 8.
Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ.
So we have to beware of that. We cannot get spoiled and deceived by these traditions of men, these teachings of men, and these things that have been in the world since its foundation. Christmas, Immaculate Conception, you know, Easter, you know, adultery, all types of things. You know, but we have to beware and we have to repent according to as it is written. We have to keep the commandments of God with the faith of Jesus Christ.
We give all praises to the Heavenly Father in the name of Christ for giving us another week to come on the radio station here and go over scriptures. The topic that we're going to talk about today is coming back to being people of the Lord. That's what we're going to talk about. Coming back to being people of the Lord. That is what we will talk about.
So it's subtitled, with God, nothing is impossible.
Exactly, right? So let's go to Amos chapter 3.
So you can't start this out, man. We're trying to find one. Oh, here it is.
Last night it took me a minute to.
Where was it again?
I
look for it, yeah.
So Amos chapter 3, read verse 1 and 2.
Okay. Amos 3, 1 and 2. Hear this word that the Lord hath spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities.
So this is a scripture. This is a prophecy, rather, that was given to Amos. And he's saying it to the children of Israel. It says, hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel. Everybody knows the story about Moses when he was coming out of Egypt. He was dealing with the Israelites. They went through the Red Sea and all of those stuff. Everybody knows that story. So it says, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt. So the Lord brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of bondage. They went through the Red Sea and all that. Like I said, everybody knows that story.
Uh-huh.
It goes on to say, you only have I known of all the families of the earth, therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. So what that's talking about is the Lord separated all the people, all the nations on the earth, and he chose the Israelites to be his special people. And he appeared to them in all kind of miraculous ways. He even spoke to them himself out of the cloud, and they heard the voice. People heard the voice of God, believe it or not, at one point. They heard him speak. No one else can say that. But the children of Israel heard that. They were given the laws, statutes, and commandments to keep. And the Lord told them that if you keep it, you're going to go into this promised land, you're going to inherit it, and good things are going to happen. But if you don't, you're going to be punished. So the children of Israel did not keep the commandments of God, and they were punished. That is the reason why. And one of the punishments that was given out, he said that he would scatter them all over the world into captivity. Even in the latter days, meaning even in the last days, which is the time period that we're living in right now. So that is why you see we suffer the way that we do in whatever land that we're in. So now you have this whole thing, the whole Black Lives Matter, all police brutality, this and that, all that stuff. There's a reason why all that stuff is happening, man. And it's not just here in America. That people think that it's just here in America because of all the stuff that the news media is pushing, but it happens all over. It happens in Haiti a lot. It happens in Pakistan. Yes, there are our people over there too. It happens all over the world, wherever we are at, it happens. Because we're being punished for our iniquities, because it says, you only of all the families have I known, therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. So all the sins that we did and our foreparents did, we're being punished for it. And we still continue to do wickedly. But that's why, again, the topic, coming back to being the people of the Lord, we're going to see how we were, and we're going to see who God sent for us to follow and the things that he told us to do to get right and be those people of the Lord again. All right? So let's go from there to Deuteronomy chapter 4. And we're going to read verse 27 down through 31.
Okay. Deuteronomy 4, starting at 27. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations. It's not just among the 50 states, is it?
Nope.
Okay.
In fact, the states ain't even considered a nation.
Even though some think they are. But anyway, yeah. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen. That sounds like the word minority.
Exactly.
According to the Bible. Excuse me. And ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you.
So this is Moses again dealing with the children of Israel, and he's saying, okay, listen, if you don't keep these commandments, this is what's going to happen. He says, the Lord is going to scatter us among the nations. So I said before that, and you said it too, it's not just here in the 50 states. We're all over this earth, man. And wherever we are usually the minority. Wherever we are, we're at the bottom. So it's not just in America. It's not just in the West Indies. We're all over. We're in Egypt. We're in Pakistan, like I said. We're in Iran, India, Chile, Brazil. We're all over the world. We've been scattered because the Lord said that he would do it.
Yep.
Right? And read on.
28. And there ye shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell.
Getting into all of the idolatrous practices that we've gotten ourselves into in whatever land we're in. So the Buddhas, you know, the Haile Selassie, I mean, those things are all idols, man. That's not the one true and living God, the Allahs. That's not the one true and living God. People making a journey over there to Mecca, whatever, around a stone. That's a part of the prophecy that the scriptures tell us that we would do.
Yep.
That's not the one true and living God. But yet and still, we're caught up into all these different practices. So Islam, us getting involved in that, we should not be involved in that religion because it's serving an idol. You know, because that's what happens. A lot of our people, especially here in America, they go to prison, and what's one of the first things that they convert to? Islam.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah, I gotta make that trip, man, you know, once in my lifetime. Okay, yeah. To Mecca.
But you look at the examples that we see of people that follow that religion,
mm-hmm. They
don't even follow it.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, exactly, bro. Exactly, it's crazy. So read 29.
But if from this thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul.
Okay, so it's telling us that if thou from thence seek the Lord thy God, we're going to find him. But if we have to seek him with all our heart and with all our soul.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is, when God made, before he even made man upon earth, he knew exactly what would happen. He knew that he would make us, we would rebel against him, we would sin. You might ask, well, if he knew that was going to happen, why did he do it? The Lord said that, like, when he made his creation or whatever, the us, the animals, the plants, and all of that stuff, when he made man, he made us different in that he gave us like a sense of reason where we can think and where we have the choice to either serve him or not. So he didn't make us like to be like robots. That's the reason why. But we've chosen to do otherwise. We've chosen to do other things. Okay? And that's why, like I said, the world is the way how it is now. We're in these conditions. But he's telling us that even in these conditions, if we seek him with all our heart and with all our soul, we're going to find him. You know, and in these last days and times, man, people are doing exactly the opposite. People are moving away from God. Man, where is God? I don't believe in that God. You believe in some fairy tale, you know? And the thing is, like, the second protest that they had in Ferguson,
mm-hmm.
I saw a sign, a woman was holding up a sign. It was, you know, disturbing, man. It was like, I think the sign said something to the effect of, we're not going to wait for no Jesus or no white Jesus or whatever to save us. And
well, you waiting for a white billionaire to fund your Black Lives Matter protest agenda when Black Lives really don't matter because state by state up to 52% of our babies are aborted. Exactly. So if Black Lives really mattered, we wouldn't be running and breaking our necks to abort our unborn children.
Exactly. And that's what people have to realize because okay, she had that sign or whatever, right? And people don't even know that whole Black Lives Matter thing, that was created by a white man, George Soros.
Licensed the hashtag and copyrighted and everything. So
exactly.
Every T-shirt with that sold with Black Lives Matter on it, he getting some money back.
Exactly. And people don't even know that, but they out there, Black Lives Matter, really?
Yep. And you wonder what the scriptures talk about when it says they will make merchandise of you. It's not just talking about pastors and gurus and stuff like that. It's talking about the people that surround us, that we're left few in number around.
Exactly. No, that's a really good point, bro, because you know what else I just thought of? Remember old Trayvon thing?
Yeah.
He got killed over Skittles and iced tea. What was people out there protesting doing? Buying Skittles and iced tea.
Giving somebody else money.
Yeah, exactly.
Real smart.
Crazy, man. But the Lord is telling us, man, even in these conditions, we got to seek him with our whole heart, man.
Mm-hmm.
Even in these conditions, we got to pour out our heart to him, and he will hear and deliver us. He will help us because he knew that we would be in these conditions. All right, so read on.
I'm going to read 29 again. Deuteronomy 4:29. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. When thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee,
because they will.
Exactly.
Even in the latter days.
Wow.
Okay. If thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shalt be obedient unto his voice.
3:31.
For the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. This is not the covenant of Moses he's talking about. He's talking about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Exactly.
Covenants he made with them, and Noah, and all the other ones.
Exactly. So when it says, when thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, because just like you said, he knew that it was going to happen, mm-hmm. okay? And even in the latter days, so even right now as we speak, we are in the last days, almost everybody acknowledged that fact.
Mm-hmm.
And all these things that's happening to us as a people, wherever in the world we are at, not just here in America, like I said, that whole news media thing, it's all corrupt, it's all an agenda. That's why they keep showing that stuff on the news, but it's not just here in America that these things happen to us.
Mm-hmm.
It happens all over, wherever we are scattered, it happens.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yeah.
So if the Lord is saying that when we're in tribulation and when these things happen to us, if we turn to him and be obedient unto his voice, and we're going to get into some specific examples in a moment of how we can be obedient unto the voice, his voice, that's when he's going to be merciful unto us, and he's going to help us. We're not going to have to worry about getting pulled over by the cops. Man, what do I do when I get pulled over by, man, I'm scared. You know, cops out here, man, they're just going buck wild. I'm not scared. I'm not worried about it. You know what I'm saying? Because I know who I serve. I know the works that I'm doing. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm bragging or whatever. But I know who's in control.
And you know how to deal with someone in authority according to the scriptures.
Exactly. So I'm not worried about it. So this might seem like words on a page or whatever, but there are people, we're putting this into practice ourselves. And like I said, we got to get a whole lot perfect. I myself do. But like I said, the little that I know that I'm doing, I know that it works. So this is not just words on a paper. We know that the Lord is true and he's right when he says he's going to show us mercy if we are obedient unto his voice. We know that. So it's not just words on a paper. All right, so it says, if we turn to the Lord thy God, he's going to be obedient unto us, mm-hmm. and he's not going to forget that covenant.
Mm-hmm.
And you explain it, it's that covenant that he made with our forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? That he's going to bless, you know, their seed after them, and they're going to go and inherit that land, so on and so forth. That's mm-hmm. that covenant that it's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Now, how do we turn to God in these times? Because we gotta go, we gotta do it a specific way. Go to John 14. How do we turn to God in these times? It's just through one person and one person alone. So I mentioned before that woman had that sign, oh, we're not waiting for no white Jesus. And if only people would read their Bibles, right, the Jesus that the Bible talks about is the one that they push in the world. It ain't some white guy with long hair, looking all effeminate. He's not that person.
With the heart, you know, the paintings with the heart, with the cross, the sun, yeah. disc aura, with his hands like this.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
You know, with his hands like this, and one hand always like this, like he waving at a parade.
Exactly.
That's not the Christ of the Bible.
Exactly. And a lot of people got that picture hanging up in their house, man. That's not Jesus, man. That's a painting that was done in the Renaissance period or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Of some other person. That's
yeah.
not Christ.
Yeah, about 1,400 years after he died. But if you look in, look at paintings from a couple hundred years after he was around, he looks a very, very different.
Exactly.
And some of them, he even has a fro.
Exactly, mm-hmm. yeah. Yep, exactly. So the real Christ of the Bible,
mm-hmm.
let's see what he says. So again, the question, how do we turn to God in these times? Mm-hmm. Who is it for? John 14:6.
Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
So Jesus, the real Jesus, said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but through him. So we read in Deuteronomy 4, it says, return to the Lord thy God. He's going to be merciful unto us. Now in these times, we have to go through Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. We have to look to him through his examples. Even when we're praying to the Heavenly Father, it has to be said that it's being done through Jesus Christ, because he's the one that takes our prayers back to the Heavenly Father, mm-hmm. and he's our advocate.
Okay.
That the scriptures talk about.
Okay, I have a question about this scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Does it say, no man cometh unto the Father but by pronouncing my name correctly in the originalist language you could find?
Nope.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering.
Nope. I don't see that anywhere in here.
Okay.
You know, because people do push that madness too.
Yeah.
Okay, but that's just what it is madness. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So Christ is saying if we have to come through him, and mm-hmm. that's how we get to the Father. Because here's another reason why, Matthew 17:5.
Because
mm-hmm. he was sanctified by the Heavenly Father.
Yep. In a few different places.
Yeah.
A few different times.
Yep, exactly. These are just some examples. So Matthew 17:5.
While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him.
So this was Peter and John, I believe.
Peter, James, and John.
Yep, Peter, James, and John.
Yeah.
They went up and to a mountain. Christ was transfigured before them, and then there appeared to him Moses and Elijah, two prophets that people held in high regards at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Peter saw it, because those men were held in such great reverence of mm-hmm. Elijah and Moses, they were like, you know, uh-huh. let's build a tabernacle here, one for you, one for him, one for Elijah, so on and so forth.
Uh-huh.
When they said that, God himself said, because it tells you in another scripture that it was the Father,
uh-huh.
says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. That's a heavy statement, because God the Father is saying, yeah, Moses and Elijah, they came, they were my servants and my prophets, but this is my Son.
Uh-huh.
He's the one you got to listen to. Reverence him more so than anybody else
uh-huh.
that's on this planet, that ever walked this planet before, and that will ever come on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
Reverence him and listen to him, because he is the one that I've sent, that in order to come back to me, you have to go through him. Jesus Christ is. So it's not Haile Selassie. It's not Muhammad. It's not none of these new people now, Marcus Garvey, Malcolm. It's not any of them. It's Jesus Christ, the real Jesus Christ that's written about in the Bible. Not like I said, that image that people have up in their houses, or that image mm-hmm. that a lot of these churches try to portray
mm-hmm.
of that Jesus that just, oh, love, and he forgives all your sins, he died. It's not that Christ. That's the fake Christ. But the real Christ that's in the Bible, he's the one that we got to hear. And coming back to being the people of the Lord,
mm-hmm.
we got to look to his examples and come through him now. Okay?
You know, I'm sorry, but it's okay. One thing that when you said fake Christ,
mm-hmm.
it made me think of a term.
Uh-huh.
And I'm a petition that it be put in the dictionary by the end of next year.
Yeah.
But it's pagan Christ.
Yep, exactly.
Because the Christ that's taught in those doctrines,
mm-hmm.
has nothing to do with the Bible. It's anti-Bible Christ.
Exactly.
So it is obviously pagan Christ.
Exactly. Yep, exactly, bro. And that's true. Because when you look at, like we were talking last night, when you look at the history and stuff of the mm-hmm. world, I mean, the other nations have been serving their idols for like ever, mm-hmm. and then eventually after Christ died, they morphed their idols into his, try to bring that into so-called Christianity and all, you know what I mean?
Well,
so,
what was Israel doing after Joshua died.
Yeah,
they took
yeah.
all the pagan idols and gods and put them in a mixed mess. 2 Kings 17.
Yep, yep.
When they was put into captivity and stuff, and they what was they doing? They ended up mixing some other Bible with a lot of the pagan practices.
Exactly.
And calling that the right way.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. But that's not the right way, and that's not the real Jesus Christ. People have to read their Bibles for themselves to pick out the real Jesus Christ and see how he really was.
Yeah, yeah.
So we've established the fact now that we got to come through Jesus Christ in order to get back to the Heavenly Father. So let's look now at some of the things that Jesus taught. Let's go to Matthew 4.
Okay.
What he taught and what he came and told the Israelites to do.
Okay.
So Matthew 4, Matthew 4 started at verse 12.
Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. Well, wait a minute. It was Israelites living there, but what? They had the Gentile practices, was on the Gentile religion.
Exactly.
That's why they were Gentiles.
Exactly.
16. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up.
Wow. So he went through all these places. These are all names of the different tribes of Israel, Zebulun, Naphtali, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And you mentioned the Gentiles thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So it says the people which sat in darkness saw great light. The darkness that it's talking about doesn't mean that the sun wasn't out shining, they didn't have any lights. It's not talking about that. The darkness that it's talking about is wickedness.
But wait a minute, you mean cats didn't have like a pet bat to get back and forth to the store? It wasn't dark, bro?
Nah, it wasn't that.
Yo, I got to read some more.
You know, and it's just funny because I always say the story of when we were out at the Juneteenth, and I think this is a scripture I read. And guy was walking by, man, how are we in darkness, man? How are we in darkness? And I'm like, yo, man.
Look in the mirror, dude.
Yeah, I'm like, yo, you can't see, dude. I'm like, we're not supposed to be living like this, man. All the murders that happened, you know, just the dark, evil stuff, the drug dealing, the prostituting, that's darkness. We're not supposed to be living like that. But you know what? After I thought about it enough, I thought about myself, and I was like, you know what? At one point, I didn't see it.
So don't get down on that, brother.
Exactly.
You don't see it.
Exactly. That's the point. You know, because sometimes it takes people a while or whatever to see it, and they got to read their Bibles for themselves to really see it.
Yep.
That was my problem when I didn't see it. When I started reading the Bible, started reading how great we were at one point and what we've been reduced to, I was like, wow, we are in darkness.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the shadow and region of death, light is sprung up. Now, before I even leave this point, I'm going to explain something else again. I watched this documentary, I think it was this week. It was it was a History Channel one. Remember they do this one about gangs?
Oh, yeah, gangs and different gangs, Gangland or
something.
I know one was BET, one was History Channel.
The History Channel was what I'm talking about. So, bro, they went to a place.
Okay.
I had no idea, and you know what? I feel ashamed and stupid now because we just read how we're scattered all over.
Yeah.
They went to a place I would never imagine in 100 years that it was this much off the chain and it was being run by our people. Alaska. See, I told you. Bro.
Wait a minute. For all the people that I know, that's my father's cousins, that hate snow and cold, unless it's air conditioned. I can't get it, dude. They bro, had a gang of our people at Elastin.
Yeah. Bro, more than that, it's off the chain, bro. Drug dealing like crazy, murder like crazy. Bro, they had to bring in the FBI, set up a special task force or whatever, just to curb down on the murders, right? So, I said all this for a reason. They said, you know, like how it gets real cold or whatever.
Yeah.
So they said the weather affects like the crime and all that other stuff, right?
Yeah.
They said in one sense, like when it snows and stuff like that, the wickedness still goes on because what they do is very evil. They kill people and they'll dump the bodies
in the pile of snow.
So when the snow all melts, they all the stench and all the bodies and stuff.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. This is why I brought this example up. They said when it's the summertime, the violence spikes just like any other city. Like
Chicago. That's how you know it's us.
Exactly.
Because brothers don't want to go outside in the cold.
Yeah, exactly, right? Now, here's the thing, bro, and I'm not sure if you do. I think you know this, but you know like how in Alaska, in the summertime, they'll get like 23 hours.
Yeah, of daylight.
Yeah. That to me is like, whoa, like, damn, are you serious?
Yeah.
23 hours of daylight, bro. Yeah. So during that 23 hours, they said it, a lot of violence be going down within those daylight hours. A lot of killing, a lot of drug dealing and stuff. And the sun is out. So, but all that stuff that's happening, what does the scriptures call it? Darkness.
Yeah, because it's evil.
Exactly, because it's evil, but the sun is out, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. And, bro, it's a lot of us that's doing that wickedness up there in Alaska. They said a lot of Dominicans, I don't know how they end up there, of all places. A lot of people from...
scattered, man. The Lord said it.
Well, thank you. There you go. Yeah. You know, just a lot of our people up there, bro. A lot of people, too, from L.A. In fact, the gang that's up there a lot is the Crips.
Yeah. You know what?
Yeah.
The last time I would think that there was any, just speaking as a fool, that there was any migration was up there. Remember they was working on the pipeline?
That's it. That's what brought
them
there.
They mentioned
that? Yeah. That's it, bro. Yeah. That's what brought them there. And I think they said when they were working on the pipeline, I think some people that was in the Crips or whatever, they went there and they saw, man, it's a real good opportunity. And then they started bringing other people, you know, and then that's how that all started.
They sent back for Cousin Loke.
Yeah, exactly, you know. So, but it's just great wickedness. And you know what? It was no different when Christ was walking the earth. It was still wickedness, man.
Mm-hmm.
So the people which sat in darkness saw great light. Mm-hmm. That light that it's talking about, that great light, was Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light sprung up. Because here's the thing, people. The scriptures tell us that the wages of sin is death.
Mm-hmm.
So all those things that people are doing, it's death. It's going to bring about death, and it's only a matter of time. So when you look at your shadow trails behind you, but eventually it catches up to you.
Exactly.
And if you don't change and repent, it's going to catch up to you.
Exactly.
Sooner than later. So that's what it's talking about. So Christ was in the midst of all this wickedness.
Mm-hmm.
And what did he come preaching and telling these people? What did he say? Matthew 4:17.
From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
So Christ went among these people that was in the darkness and the wickedness, and he started teaching them, repent. Turn yourselves from committing sins and live godly.
Exactly.
Simple as that. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now he was there on the scene. Now he's the one that we're going to go through to get back to the Heavenly Father.
Mm-hmm.
Because like I said, that's the title of the class, coming back to being people of the Lord.
Yep.
He is the one that we have to go through, and this is what he told us to do.
Mm-hmm.
To repent from our wicked lifestyle. And it's the same doctrine for us today. That's why this was written. It wasn't written for the people back then. It wouldn't make any sense because he was there telling them to do it. So it didn't have to be written down. It was written down for future generations.
For our learning.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's what the scripture says, for our learning. So it's the same thing for us today. We have to repent, get our lives right, and get back to the Heavenly Father. Because when you look at us, man, we're just some of the most vile, corrupt, and just very evil people on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was just, like I told you, I was looking at a thing, bro. It was, I'm like, what the hell? I'm like, bro, just murders, just like off the chain, bro. I'm like, yo, what is different, man, about like any other, like Oakland?
Well, in Oakland, they stand out in a, you know, in a tank top, scully,
yep,
work boots, baggy pants, right?
Yep.
In Alaska, they stand out with a thicker scully, a thicker coat, you know, like the that movie Spies Like Us,
yeah,
big old fat coat,
yep,
right? And they still out there loitering, causing trouble,
yep,
following along with the programming of the latest music video,
yep,
doing what what's his name, Young Pug, whatever he's doing.
Yeah.
You know, and selling dope, just like they are in Oakland.
Exactly.
Just like they are in London.
Yeah.
Just like they are in Rome. Just
yep,
like they are in Africa. Just yep, like they are in Iraq. Just like yep, they are in Buffalo.
Exactly. All over the world, man. It's the same thing,
yep,
man. You know what I'm saying? So that's why Christ is telling us, hey, listen, you got to repent.
Mm-hmm.
And when we do that, then that's when we'll see our conditions better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because yep, we're going around doing all this protest, getting worried and scared. Oh, man, I don't know. Come on, man. You don't have to do all of that.
Uh-huh.
All we got to do is follow the program of the Most High through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's all we got to do.
Yep.
And let everything else fall where it falls.
Exactly. Can I say yep, one thing? I had said that when in Matthew 4:15, when it said Galilee of the Gentiles, that those Gentiles were Israelites.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to go to one scripture.
Yeah.
Which it prophesies about this scripture happening,
mm-hmm,
as well as the a scripture in Isaiah 9.
Okay.
But let's go to Isaiah 11.
Okay.
And it's going to define, the Bible defines the terms that it uses.
Mm-hmm.
So love is, for example, the keeping of the commandments.
Yep.
Okay. Darkness is evil.
Exactly.
According to the Bible in what? Proverbs 4.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's read Isaiah 11:10-12.
And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious.
So his kingdom, his rest from all our wicked works,
mm-hmm,
is going to be glorious, and the Gentiles are going to seek it.
Yep.
Now, Isaiah 11 starts out talking about Christ, and the root of Jesse is Christ in verse 10.
Exactly.
But let's see what the Gentiles, what they're about, because it's going to define what Gentiles are. Read verse 11.
Isaiah 11, verse 11. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left.
Hold on. The Lord, you're not going to find the Lord if you don't seek him, right?
Yep, exactly.
So the Gentiles are going to seek him,
mm-hmm,
but he's going to recover the remnant, the cut-off ends,
mm-hmm,
of the people, right?
Yep, exactly.
Read that verse again.
And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people,
uh-huh,
which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea.
Okay, and read on, read verse 12.
And he shall set up an ensign for the nation.
The Gentiles,
mm-hmm,
read on.
And shall assemble the outcasts of Israel.
Read on.
And gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth.
Okay.
Wow. That
so
nails right in the coffin.
That's the Gentiles.
Exactly.
And they even said it one time. Remember when Christ was talking in John about, listen, I'm going to go you're going to see me. You see me now, and later on you're not going to see me because I'm not going to be here. No. It was like, well, what is he going to do? Is he going to go teach the Gentiles that are dispersed among the Gentiles?
Exactly. Yep.
So it's talking about bringing his people back to God.
Exactly. Yep, exactly. Good point. All right, so let's go now. Let's look at some examples, because we mentioned some things before. Let's go to Matthew 26.
Mm-hmm.
And because we mentioned before, man, you know, wherever we are, we're just some of the most vile and vicious people going.
What did that lady say about they protesting in Ferguson? Oh. They protesting the thug, the criminal that shot at the police and got lit up.
Exactly.
Rather than protesting for going in their neighborhoods and protesting against their people who stray bullet shot that little 9-year-old baby.
Exactly.
So y'all are some of the most violent such and suches and this and that and this and that the on the planet.
Exactly.
You know, and we love it.
Yeah, exactly. We love to have it so. You're right. Yeah. You know, just the whole, they say, gun culture. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, they put a label on anything these days, don't they?
Exactly.
Okay.
So, we mentioned before that Christ is our example, and he's the one we got to look to and now come back to God.
Yeah.
So, one of the things that's on us as a people, we have this violent nature about us. Everything is just revenge. Kill. You know, I'm going to destroy him and just kill. Just vile. We have that on us. And Christ came and set a very good example, and it was left for us to follow. And this is what we have to take heed to. So if you have that spirit on you and you're like that, take heed to these scriptures. Matthew 26, read 48, and we're going to read down to verse 52.
Okay. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast.
This is talking about Judas, and everybody knows this story too. Judas betrayed Jesus. So it's saying when Judas went and to the people, to the scribes and the Pharisees, the leaders, he said, listen, you're going to know who it is when I kiss him and hold him. That's the one that you want. That's Jesus that you want. All right? So read 49.
And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, hail, master, and kissed him.
Wow, that feigned love, man. Listen, and just so people know, like I said, these aren't words on a page. I read the story to myself, too, from time to time. One of my things is I can't stand when someone is just being phony, but then, you know, they're pretending. That pisses me off. I'm not going to lie.
Yep.
And I always got to remember this story. I was like, man, look at how Christ dealt with Judas.
Yeah.
I was like, that's great. Because he went to him and, hail, master, hugged him and kissed him. And Christ knew that Judas would betray him.
From the beginning.
Exactly.
John 6.
Exactly.
John 6. Have I not chosen you 12 and one of you is a devil?
Exactly. So Christ knew that. But let's look at how Christ dealt. Read on.
50. And Jesus said unto him, friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him.
Christ says, friend. He didn't even say, Judas, you M-F-er, you is that. He didn't say none of that bad. He says, friend, wherefore art thou come? Where are you coming from?
Like, I don't know.
Exactly. You know, but we're seeing that he didn't have that spirit of vengeance on him. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because even today, what's snitches get stitches, and it be over some foolishness, over some wickedness. You know what I'm saying? And you know what? That person snitched on me. I'm going to take him out, man.
Yeah, it'd be over some foolishness that,
exactly.
Like,
that don't
matter. Like Ferguson or Skittles and Arizona Iced Tea, somebody else getting the money off him.
Exactly. Exactly, bro. It's crazy, man. It's crazy. So read that again.
And Jesus said unto him, friend, wherefore art thou come? Excuse me, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and stroke a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear.
Okay, So this is talking about Peter, one of Christ's disciples. So when they came and grabbed Jesus, Peter drew his sword. It was like, yo, I'm going to defend my master, man, and chopped off the dude's ear. Yeah, exactly. Chopped off dude's ears with his sword.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, yo, let's do it. He was quick to it. You know, let's do something like that. Like, pew! It's like, okay, people today, remember that Mike Tyson fight with the house?
Nobody got a chance to sit down, like 13 seconds. Boop, boop, boop. 10.
What the, what?
Yeah, but remember, though, he chewed off, what's his name?
The band holders of his ear.
Exactly. Yeah. And so people could know, but it was a sword that Peter used.
Yeah.
Chopped it off.
Yeah, real quick.
Exactly. Now, let's look at what Jesus said.
Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword.
Okay, so Christ told him, listen, put away your sword. Because if you take the sword, you're going to perish with it. Meaning if you live that violent lifestyle or whatever, you're going to be taken out the same way.
Exactly. And he was telling, I think it's in Luke, or John, he said, all that they that live by the sword, where, listen, the sword or that anger and malice is the first thing on your mind, you're going to die by that same anger and malice.
Exactly.
Okay, and Christ was, it was the will of the Most High that Christ be taken.
Exactly.
And crucified, right?
Exactly.
So Peter, being angry or, you know, going into this, defending him and trying to keep it from happening, was going against the will of the Most High.
Exactly.
So listen, that sword has its place, dude.
Exactly.
It ain't right here, right now, because you're going against what's prophesied.
Exactly. Yep. You're exactly right, bro. Because, and the word sword can be replaced today with the word guns, because back then they didn't have any guns, they just had swords.
Mm-hmm.
So if you, and in fact, that is the saying, if you live by the gun, you're going to die by the gun.
Yep.
And this is where they get that from.
Uh-huh.
So it's the same thing. There's a place for that. Now, if you, in your house, someone is breaking in your house or whatever, then guess what? That's when that gun has its place, because now someone is up. Christ even said that in another parable.
Yeah.
That's when that has its place. But if you just, that's your first nature, just to be violent and malicious and violent and all that stuff, you're going to die that way, man.
Yeah.
That's what Christ is saying. And that's the mentality for a lot of our people, is just kill, kill, kill.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, like I said, it'd be over foolishness. It's unjust killing.
Yep. And read verse 53.
Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?
I believe a legion is 144. I'm not sure. But that's a great number.
Exactly.
Okay. So he talk about, listen, if it was right with the Most High, and I was, this wasn't fulfilling prophecy, don't you think the Most High would nuke this place?
Exactly.
It'd be uninhabitable. It'd be like the coastline of Fukushima.
Exactly.
For like the next 360 years.
Exactly, bro.
It would tear it up.
Exactly. And the thing is, too, you don't even need 12 legions of angels to do a damage.
You need one.
Exactly. Remember that one angel?
185,000 people.
Exactly.
Assyrians.
Exactly.
Sennacherib's boys, yeah.
Even, you know, I don't know how true this is, but people said, like I said, I don't know how true this is, but this is what people say. When that whole September 11th thing happened, according to some people, they saw something that appeared like an angel or whatever that was just standing in the sky or something to that effect, people were saying.
It's on film.
Yeah, and who knows if that's true or not, but you don't need a whole bunch of angels to do a destruction. You just need one. So the point is, just like what you said, the scriptures had to be fulfilled, and Peter was going against that will by not having the scriptures fulfilled. That's why Christ said what he said.
Yeah.
But the whole point of me reading the scripture is to say that that whole violent nature that we have about us as a people, we got to drop that, man. We got to drop that attitude, because Christ, who is now our example, wasn't like that. And like I said, these aren't just words on a paper. I know I myself, I take heed to these things as well, because just above where I read, like I said before, that's one of my pet peeves. I cannot stand when someone's just being phony, and you can tell. But then they pretend like, you and them are cool. Like, come on, man. But I can't treat them no kind of, differently. I got to follow that example of Christ.
And the Most High, will move that situation
exactly
to where it will benefit you if you are pleasing him.
Exactly.
That's why we need to take heed to the scriptures.
Exactly, exactly. So that's one example. Let's go to Mark chapter 3.
Yep.
And another example, because like I said, you know, we got this on us as a people, and coming back to being people of the Lord, these are the things that we got to drop, like a bad habit.
Yeah.
Okay? So the whole spirit of anger and all that that a lot of us have on us, man, this is another thing we got to drop. Read Mark 3. We're going to read 1 all the way down to 7.
And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand, and they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him.
The scribes and the Pharisees, the religious leaders at the time, they were always watching Christ, looking for him to slip up at something that they could accuse him of. See, you broke this, you broke that, you broke the laws, you broke the traditions.
Your boy didn't wash his hands right.
Yeah, exactly.
Can he eat his food?
Yeah, exactly.
Your boy picked the Iroquois.
Exactly. And it's like it's like the same thing that people do this today. Even when they see us, you know, maybe out in the street, whatever, they looking and watching just to see. So, oh, you did this, you did that.
Yeah.
You said the word damn. You cursed.
Yeah, I saw you in the liquor store. Well, my cousin was here from out of town, and I was going for him. And what is it if I go home at the end of the day and have a sip? Anyway, but you have a nice day.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so read on.
And they watched him whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he saith unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger.
With what?
Anger.
So Christ got angry? Oh my God, I didn't know that. So it's not that Christ in the world that they push, oh, Jesus loves everybody, he's handing out roses, candy, he's the effeminate guy.
Candy.
Yeah, that's what they say. They pretend anyway.
You say candy?
Yeah, I know, right? But, you know, Christ had emotions. He got angry. It says he got angry. He looked about them and got angry. But what did he do with that anger? Read on.
And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. So they went to the governor.
Yep.
They went to go work with the governor. Like, remember the magicians? When Daniel got promoted above the magicians by Nebuchadnezzar, they went and took counsel and stuff and went behind his back to try to go ahead and have him destroyed.
Exactly. Yep. Same thing. Exactly, bro. Yep. Same thing. They went and see how can we destroy this guy? Destroy Christ.
Yep.
And Christ was angry because of their hardness of heart.
Okay.
But let's see what he did. Let's read verse 7.
But Jesus withdrew himself.
Ah. He was passive like that? He withdrew himself. Man, he's soft.
That was a soft Christian, wasn't that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what people call us, soft Christians.
Yeah. So he withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him and from Judea. So he started teaching him.
Exactly. So he wasn't in that pride of life. Well, I'm going to show them. I'm going to show them that I ain't no punk. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to show him. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't want people to think I'm soft.
Like I said, he could have nuked the spot. He could have... What was that they came up with in the 80s? The neutron bomb?
Oh, yeah.
It'd kill everybody but leave the tanks and cars and buildings and stuff intact.
Exactly.
Okay. I know this ain't supposed to be around for another 2,000 years, but neutron boom.
Listen, in saying that, Christ was so powerful... Even in the flesh. Remember at one point when they went and came and got him, it says when he spake so loud, the whole multitude fell back.
Yeah, where is this Christ at? I am he. Whoa.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how, and he was in the flesh. He wasn't even in the spirit form back then. So just imagine if he was. That's how powerful the man was. So he could have used that power.
Yeah.
But he withdrew himself. He didn't go into that anger. He was like, you know, I'm gonna show them that I ain't no punk. I don't want people thinking I'm soft.
Yeah. But look at this. He didn't touch the man's hand.
Nope.
He didn't touch the man's hand. He just said, listen. Stretch your hand out.
Yeah.
He didn't David blame him or nothing like that. He just, you know, look, stretch it. That's power, man.
Yeah, exactly.
That's power from on high.
Definitely, bro. That's definitely power from on high. I didn't even think about it like that either.
Yeah.
You know, so again, that same thing, man, because, you know, a lot of our people, we be getting into fights and angry over foolish things. You go to the supermarket, be fighting over a parking space. You know, or this person caught me up. Man, you better get out of my way. What you said to me? I mean, bro, one time I went to Price Right, man. That's like, they get in a fight in the parking lot. The security had to call the police and everything, man. All fired up.
Remember when, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years ago, they had a gas shortage in Atlanta? Cass was fighting.
Oh,
the
gas station.
Pulling guns out on each other. Listen, I know you got to get home and your kid got to go to school in the morning, but it's just gas.
I remember that, bro. Yeah, that was crazy.
And people get mad at me at the car wash when I let somebody cut in. I mean, it's the car wash, man. It's going to rain within a week.
No. I remember one time I was going down to New York City, and I stopped at one of those rest stops getting gas or whatever.
Uh-huh.
So I got done pumping, and I was putting back my credit card back in my wallet.
Uh-huh. Taking too long.
Yes. Guy behind me, another so-called black dude, Jamaican dude or whatever, man, what the hell? Yeah, hurry up, man. Look at this boy, man. Come on, man. Hurry up, man. Get up. Angry.
Okay.
I'm like, yo, are you serious? I'm putting back the thing in my wallet.
Hey, your wallet ain't got nothing to do with him filling up with his wallet, you know.
Yeah,
you gonna pull his wallet out, man.
2 minutes. Okay.
Okay.
You know, I'm like, but that's that anger, man, that we got. That's the stuff that we got to get rid of.
Exactly.
To being back to being the people of the Lord.
Exactly.
So let's go, this will be the last scripture, Acts 2.
Okay.
We're going to read 36 all the way down to 40.
Okay. Acts 2, starting at 36. Come on. Acts 2, starting at 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, scattered, even as many as the Lord your God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation.
So this is the point. We have to repent, follow the true Jesus Christ and the Bible to get back to the Heavenly Father and get back to being the people of the Lord.
Uh-huh.
Because the promise is unto us, right, and all that are far off, all the ones that are scattered, and it was said, save ourselves from this untoward generation, this degenerate generation. Save ourselves from the destruction that's going to come on the earth, and getting back to being those people of the Lord. That is what we have to do.
The Body of Christ Church Radio Network broadcasts 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/theBOCC. Listen to our archive broadcasts or check us out while we are live on the air. Come and visit us in the virtual living room at 2 o'clock p.m. on Sundays, where we examine current topics according to the scriptures. Are you looking for the truth? Can you handle the truth? Find out on Mondays at 8 o'clock p.m. It doesn't matter what church you attend or philosophy you believe, take the challenge to see, are you smarter than your pastor, on Tuesdays at 8 o'clock p.m. The world is engrossed in darkness, but it shall be destroyed by the light. Check out From Darkness to Light at 7 o'clock p.m. on Wednesdays, where all manner of witchcraft, occult practices, and Satanism is exposed for what it is. before the light comes, it's time to awake on Thursday at 8 o'clock p.m. If you are seeking salvation, listen to Repentance is the Key, Fridays at 7 o'clock p.m. And after you've listened to all of these shows, find out how we will become kings and priests, Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock a.m. All shows are on Eastern Standard Time. Remember to check out the Body of Christ Church 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/theBOCC. That's blogtalkradio.com/THEBOCC. Shalom.